Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
And now from Matthew's Gospel, we hear, "If your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If you are listened to, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If that person refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. If the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them."
There's just something about eating together, something about the gathering and the preparing and the seeing and the sharing, something about the bounty of the table that makes you pause to reflect, to remember, to tell. Special occasions call for special people and special food. And when you gather special people for these occasions and you tell special stories that make the circle, you tell these stories that make the circle whole, even when there are holes. See, there's kind of an unbroken circle, even in the most broken of families, when you're able to gather together to break bread and to tell stories. Telling stories is still such an important part of gathering together with family, especially when families are increasingly separated by time zones and distance. You get together and you hear stories about your families and your heritage, and you remember who you are or where you come from. It's one of the ways humans have come to create rituals in our lives. And humans, we really love to ritualize. Think of all the traditions that you have surrounding holidays and birthdays and other celebrations. These are all rituals. Rituals don't just happen here in the church. This week, as part of our Come to the Table series, we are coming here to the table of love. And I think that that's the perfect imagery. This kitchen table idea, this is the perfect imagery for this series and for today. Because the intimacy of the kitchen table, this calls for a ritual that reminds us that we are in relationship with each other here. Sitting down, cup of tea, cup of coffee. Take a look around the sanctuary today. And for you worshiping online, take a look at those you are with, or think about the people you spend time with. And imagine that you are sitting around a kitchen table about to say grace for a meal. Let us pray. Loving God, you bless us with companions for the journey. Bless this spiritual meal as we come closer together in your name. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We know Jesus loved to dine with people, right? Jesus loved to eat with people, and usually it was the people that society said, oh, they're the wrong kind of people. But still, Jesus ate with them. And at these meals, Jesus not only fed people physically, but he also challenged them and fed their spirits, challenged them to acts of hospitality that reflected God's ways and invited them to grow. Last week, as I began my ministry with you and we began this series, we explored God's table and how any table becomes sacred when we embody God's love for humanity and the world. When you come to the table, you are embodying Christ's hands and feet and heart, offering love to all of God's guests. And today, we are looking at one of the ways that we can put, that you can put that kind of love into action. You know, this kitchen table reminds me of two people sitting down having a serious conversation over coffee and pastries. It reminds me about building relationships, about deepening friendships, and repairing broken relationships when they need to be repaired. And as I read Matthew's reading for this week, I realized that this is what this passage is all about. Now think back a few minutes when you heard Lori read this passage, and what did you think that was about? Was that about rules or about relationships? There were a lot of do this, then do this, then do this, then do this. But I think we need to answer this question before we continue, because how you answer it will shape how you interpret Matthew, interpret what he's writing and what Jesus is saying. Is Jesus giving you rules to live by, or is he putting relationships over just about everything in your life as a Christian? Now, I think it's the latter. What if the point is less about having a code of conduct to follow and more about regaining a relationship with someone? What if Matthew's major concern isn't actually settling disputes, but creating an environment where Jesus' presence continues to bring forgiveness and healing and joy? One of the things that you will learn about me as we get to know each other is that I think it's extremely important to put our readings in context when we're trying to learn from them. What's happening in the text around our assigned reading? What's happening in the society outside the words written on the page? What's happening to the community in which the author is writing to? All of these questions can inform our understanding and interpretation of the text. So let's look at what's going on in the verses we're looking at today. Right before our reading is the parable of the lost sheep. You know, the one where Jesus leaves the 99 to go after the one, detailing God's delight in gathering back those sheep that have strayed from the flock and giving us the command to beware of despising others, and perhaps especially those who seem of little account to you. The verses after our reading set a new standard for forgiveness. It's the story of Peter asking how many times do we need to forgive, and Jesus multiplying that 7 times 77. In other words, a really large number, multiplying Peter's sense of appropriate forgiveness beyond imagination. And then it suggests that your ability to forgive others may be a key factor in whether you yourself get forgiven. So I think that these surrounding verses tell me that Matthew is someone who knows that relationships take work. Take work to maintain, and that community is so much harder to forge and nurture than you might imagine. Because you know that going to someone with your concern or your grievance, it's a lot harder than just talking behind their back. Bringing others with you to listen to what is said takes a lot more courage than just ranting on Facebook or on Nextdoor. And working out disputes as a community together rather than simply dispensing judgment can be a really, really hard. So in these words, we are seeing a marvelously humane and even compassionate process that translates something of Jesus' teachings into the workings of the life of the early church in such a way that we can also use it today, but we seldom do. You know, much of the language in the Gospels is about lilies of the field, shepherds and lost sheep, and transfiguration and resurrection, all of which is good and important. But here the language is remarkably ordinary, almost mundane, walking you through the mechanism that invites the most graceful experience of all, truth-telling, healing, reconciliation. And this is where I made the connection with our passage to Paul's letter to the Romans. You see, the proclamation of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, it's got to have real life implications. It cannot stay as some just theological idea up here in our heads. We got to put the gospel into action. Don't be in debt to anyone, says Paul, except for the obligation to love one another. When you sit at the table with someone, when you are building and rebuilding relationships, you have no obligation other than love. This idea, much like much of the gospel, turns everything that we know upside down. And again, it's important to have some understanding to the context of first century Roman culture. You see, the language of obligation lived or defined the livelihood of Roman citizens in many spheres of life. To the emperor, they owed their honor and allegiance. To their benefactor or patron, if they had one, most likely did. They also owed money and possessions and honor. Slaves owed service to and their very lives. Wives owed submission, and so on and so forth. Don't be in debt to anyone except for the obligation to love one another. And when Paul says this, he is reconfiguring the idea of obligation. To owe nothing except love, that eliminates all of the structures of obligation in the Roman cultural ethos. And if you owe nothing but love to each other, what does that eliminate for you? Revenge? Grudges? Contempt? The ability to ignore conflict between yourself and someone? If you owe nothing but love, then you must live differently than what you have known, adopting a new pattern and a new ethos. This is how you fulfill the law, according to Paul, by fulfilling your obligation to love each other. Which brings us back to Matthew. If your only obligation is to love each other, Matthew is giving a real-world, honest-to-goodness way to make that happen. Talk to each other, right? When you have a disagreement, don't air your dirty laundry on Facebook or next door. Sit down and talk to each other. This works when you already have relationships with people you already have relationships with and with whom you've never even thought you could get along with. As I'm beginning to get to know all of you and all in our church here, one of the things I'm doing is I'm meeting with all of the boards, committees, and leaders to listen and learn about what you do, who you are, what your dreams are for this church. And this week I met with the personnel committee, and I want to celebrate something. I want to celebrate the work you have done over the last several years to cultivate community. A community that takes these ideas of working to maintain relationships through all the rough patches so seriously. Now, don't let the name of this committee fool you. Personnel, they're not just concerned with the staff of the church. They're here for all of us, all of you. They're here to help us tend to our relationships, following the example of Jesus and using Paul's idea of no greater obligation than to love. Daring to sit down at the table with someone you shouldn't or with someone you've had an argument, it's exactly what Jesus would want you to do. It's how we live in community with each other, with our neighbors. It's how you show God's love and demonstrate that God's kingdom is for everyone. Everyone. Matthew's deep concern in this passage and in so many other places is community. Honest to goodness, real, authentic Christian community. Now, of course, community is one of those feel-good words that draw us to imagine something that's out of a TV show from a long time ago. Cheers. You know, it's a place where you're accepted for who you are, where you're never lonely, and where, of course, everyone knows your name. But, of course, that's just TV. Real, authentic community is hard to come by. It takes work. Man, is it worth it? Because when you find it, it's like discovering a little bit of heaven on earth. That is, it's like experiencing the reality of God's communal fellowship and existence in your midst. And as when Jesus promises, when you gather in this way with honesty and integrity, even when it's hard, amazing things can happen. Because Jesus is with you, right there, in your very midst, forming and being formed by your communal sharing. So come, sit down, sit at this table, let's have a meal, let's share a cup of coffee, let's talk, build relationships, let's live and love in the way of Jesus. Are you with me?